Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
To the second speaker, Taji Mustafa, who is an Islamic activist and an international speaker, and they'll be discussing what is the role of the Muslim youth.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. It's always sometimes a tough act to follow Brother Abdullah. Or some images that we've seen on the video. But maybe I start with a question. I have an idea what the answer is, but it's good to throw it out there anyway. Does anybody here know of any Muslim youth, young like me and you, who does not want to go to Jannah? Anybody? No? The obvious answer is no. None of us knows anybody. Even the person who doesn't practice, is not practicing. A sister who's not practicing, a brother who's not practicing, still have in the back of their mind, in the back of our minds, that inshallah, when the time comes, I want to go to Jannah. But a lot of the time, the youth, you know, it's a long time away when the time comes. We're young, yeah? We haven't got wrinkles yet. We look fit, yeah? Maybe even when we go to the gym. So yes, it's an idea, it's a wonderful thought. But you know and I know that even the youth do die. And I remember a while back, some brothers in East London, I can't remember whether it was Eid Day, you know, maybe people get a car, a nice hire car, went for a drive, and that was their last drive, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them back. And that could be you, that could be me, at any time, on any day, in any place. And so when we the youth meet our Lord, when we're young, in what state do we want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There's a lot of good news actually for us young people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith talks about the day of judgment. That on the day of judgment, the sun will be brought so close to the earth. Maybe it will just be like something like a few miles away. And that people will be sweating. You, me, everybody who's ever lived, standing there, will be sweating on that day. And the sweat will vary. Some people will be drowning in sweat up to their ankle. Some people up to their knees. Some people up to their waist. And in the hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, some people will have sweat like the bridle of a horse. And he put his hand here. You know what that means? You're just about, you know when you're in a swimming pool? And you're just about breathing. I bring this hadith because there's another hadith that gives us the good news. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on that day when everybody's going to be sweating so hard, there's going to be a group of people who are going to have shade. They're going to have cool. They're going to have ease. And that's the famous hadith about seven people who will be under Allah's shade on that day. And the first person is the just ruler. And the second person mentioned in the hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي إِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. The youth who is brought up in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that me and you will be amongst those youth who will understand Islam, my brother Abdullah was saying, who will live for Islam, who will strive for Islam, so that on that day, inshallah, this hadith applies to us, and we will have shade and cool and ease when everybody else will be sweating so hard, worrying about where they're going to end up. And everybody wants that. Every young Muslim wants that. But what stops us getting to this beautiful position that I've described, that our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described? What stops us? What is our role? The subject I was given, the role of the Muslim youth. What stops us getting to this? Many reasons. But one of them is this guy. Call of Duty. I've got to be frank, I'm not into games nowadays. And in the New Year, Christmas period, brothers and sisters, they organized talks up north. And me and one brother, we drove up and to give some of these talks. And the brother, he's in uni, yeah? I'm showing my age a bit because I'm not in uni anymore. We drove up. I got a real good education in that car drive. Because he gave me the lowdown on Call of Duty. I've seen some adverts, I read some, I'm in IT, I've read some things in the IT world, there's this game, what is it, biggest grossing game, 1 billion in X days, so, I knew it was big. But I didn't know how much people were into this thing. And he was telling me in the car, people playing all night, you know, you get a badge or whatever, you're a colonel, you're a this, you go up the ranks, you know, you're playing because you want to get to the next level. And when you get to the next level, you get a new operation, and on the operation, you go to this place, you kill this person, you get some more ammunition, and you get this weapon, you get that weapon. When he explained it, I was just like, I was blown away. And he told me about that this is the latest incarnation, the latest episode of this Call of Duty. He used to work in a shop, like, you know, student part-time job. And he said there was a guy who used to work with him, who, like, he wants to go home late so that people can be asleep, so that he can play Call of Duty. He used to come home, come to work, he's not slept properly. What's he been doing all night? He's been playing Call of Duty. This was ruining his life. And many of the youth are into this thing. And I'll tell you what really smacked me. On the way back, we were going to Birmingham. We pulled into a petrol station, gonna get some petrol. I've been hearing all this time about this game. And I was going to the counter to pay for the petrol, and I saw the box there. It said, like, take me to the counter. What's it? Call of Duty. Oh, you have a lot. It wasn't cheap. I said, 20? Very quick. When I saw the price, I can't remember what it was, I thought, all these people, no wonder you got 1 billion. So there is an industry out there, and one of the things that stops us, the youth, seeking Allah's pleasure, be motivated for this Jannah, and practically doing the things we need to do outside of the bargain, is because of things like this. Some of the youth have answered a call of duty. It's a call of duty to play games. It's a call of duty to do this and that. We live in a society that calls us to many things. And one of the important things it says to the youth, yeah, is what? You're young, be free, enjoy yourself. You're young, be free, enjoy yourself. The TV, the movies, the advert, the games, they have these three messages again and again and again. You're young, what are you worried about Jannah for? You're not gonna die yet. You ain't got cancer. What? And you gotta be free. Listen to your dad, listen to your mom. Huh? Do this, do that, listen to your teachers. You're free, man. And what's life about? Enjoy yourself, boy! You only live once. Huh? Like he says, just do it. So just do it, man. This is what we get in life. This is what we as Muslim youth are subjected to. And part of the results of that now is it distances us from our deen. You find a youth, he's been up all night on the game, playing this thing. What's his relationship with his parents? When mom says, can you go down the shops for me? He's thinking, I'm on level 2. I'm just about to break through. So he becomes disrespectful because of the game. when relatives come to visit, Islam says we should have good relations with our relatives, to sit down with them, to chat to them, how is their life. He's not following this aspect of the sunnah, because he's busy with the game. He's wasting time. He's missing salah. Some people miss their salah because of this thing. You know how it is. You're really into something. You're going, you're playing. Yeah, I know it's time. I got half an hour more for Maghrib. It's all right. You keep at it. And then you hear the adhan. And then, it's Salat al-Isha. Miss Maghrib. Because we're doing what? Because we're busy. And so this is the first thing. As Brother Abdullah said, this is not our call of duty. Not only to be engrossed in this game, but engrossed, busying ourselves with anything that takes us away from our deen. It ain't going to answer for us. It ain't going to help us on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So we need to think about what we do, when we do, how we do, and why we do. Everything we should question to try to keep ourselves on the right path. Okay. So if we want this Jannah, if Islam gives us a call of duty, where's the starting point? What should give us a focus as to what should we strive for as Muslim youth? What is our role? For somebody to have a role, they've got to have a vision. You've got to be going somewhere to then work towards getting there. You've got to have a vision. I've got to have a vision. What is the vision? I have to be very frank. A lot of times, we're sold short. The practicing Muslim youth are sold short. And I'm deliberate here. I said, the practicing Muslim youth. Because for any youth to say, I want to fulfill the Islamic vision, you got to be practicing Islam. You got to be serious about Islam to get to the level where you say, I really want to work for this gender. So if we're not practicing, get practicing. There's no ifs, no buts. Before we leave this room tonight, if there's something we're doing we shouldn't be doing, say, inshallah, peg in the sand, I'm going to stop tonight. If there's something we shouldn't be doing, that we are doing, stop it. There's something we should be doing, some fard, some closeness to the Quran. You've got to say, okay, I'm going to start tonight. Don't wait till tomorrow, the next day. You don't know if you're going to be here. I don't know if I'm going to be here. So we want to get practicing. That means reading the Quran. That means studying the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to understand how he lived. How he lived sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How he was an example. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That in Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muslim has the best example. So if you're studying his life, if you're reading the Quran, you're trying to understand it, then this will start to affect your behavior, the way you speak, your mannerism, your attitude. And that's a starting point for us. But many people will say, bro, I pray, MashaAllah, my dad sent me to the Quran school. I know some tajweed. So I'm okay. I'm sorry, it's not enough. It's not enough. Islam didn't come just for that. It came for that, bigger than that. This is where the issue of vision. What is the vision that the practicing Muslim youth should have? What is the vision Islam gives us? It is that we want to establish Islam as a superpower on this earth. Islam as a superpower. Now somebody sitting there is going to say, these brothers, it's just a big man. It's just this big talk. These guys talk big. Islam superpower. Look at Syria, we can't even help ourselves. Our parents, some of our older generation here, they used to raise their hands and make dua to Allah to help the Muslims in Palestine. Because it's been occupied for over 40 years. They used to make dua for Allah to help the Muslims in Kashmir. It's been occupied for over 40 years. And in the last 10, 15 years, we now make dua for the Muslims of Bosnia, for the Muslims of Iraq, for the Muslims of Somalia, for the Muslims of Afghanistan. Muslims are dying everywhere. You see it on the video. And this guy stands in front of you and says, we want to make Islam a superpower. What's he talking about? The youth must not be so short. We have to think the way Islam said we should think. And Islam said we should think big. We're talking about Islam here, not some piddly little thing. What did this deen come for? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send this deen for? If the earliest Muslims with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if they didn't have a vision for the world, thinking about the world, carrying Islam to the world, explaining Islam to the world, think we'll be here? Look around you. Black, white, Asian, yellow, green, we're all colors and races. How did we get here to be an ummah, diverse, big, blessed by this deen? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. It is because the earliest Muslims understood Islam in a very specific way. They got a vision as to what did Islam come for, and then they played their role in working towards that vision. So I make no apologies for speaking big, because Islam is what said we should look at this. People are rising up in the Muslim world now. People, they said, rising up and starting in Tunisia, they said, Tunisia is different from Egypt. And the people in Egypt also started rising up. Said, okay, that's Tunisia and Egypt. Libya's different. Libya's different. It's different from Egypt and Tunisia. Libya, very different place. And then the Oman Libya rising up. Oh, Syria. Syria is different.
Syria. Huh?
It's a different place. And then the people in Syria rising up. What connects all of these people from that part of Africa to that part of the Middle East? It is they are ummah that lived under Islam. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is what unites us. This is what beats within us. And this is what motivates people. So yes, this is big talk. And our vision should be for a superpower. Yes, we have problems today, no doubt about it. But hear my argument. Hear my argument. Here's some evidences I want to bring. Saudi Arabia signed the Al-Yamama defense contract. This is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, defense contract in the world. It's about 20, 30 billions of pounds. For what? Supply of weapons, of tanks. So Saudi Arabia has some modern technology. It's not cutting edge. It's not the Eurofighter Typhoon, but it ain't bad. Egypt has the third or fourth largest number of F-16s in the world. F-16s? It's not a bad plane with updated avionics and electronics. These planes are minutes away from Palestine. We can liberate the place like that, but it doesn't happen. Those planes, they get brought out on Independence Day and they fly around. They say, mashallah, mashallah. And that's all. Look at the Muslim world. Most of the oil and gas in this world is under the feet of who? The Muslim Ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us. Look at the Pakistani army. What's it? Is it the 7th or the 11th largest army in the world? That's not a small army. With over 100 countries, if you come number 11 or number 7, you're doing big, man. Trained fighters, imbued with the spirit of jihad. What's my point? If you look at resources, if you look at manpower, if you look at all of these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His mercy has blessed our ummah. The ingredients are there to be a superpower. But why is it we're not a superpower today? Why? Why is it people look to America? People look at technology, they look at the skin, they say, oh, iPhone. Was it made in Karachi? No. Made in Dhaka? Don't think so. Cairo? Not Cairo. Probably designed in California. Silicon Valley. Manufactured in China. It was the design place is what's important, yeah? Anybody can put things together. But who brought the idea? Who brought the idea of this technology that everybody's just like, they're in love with it, man? If some of these young people were old enough to be married, they'd love their iPhones more than their wives. Hopefully by the time they get to marriage, by the time they get married, hopefully that love affair would have diminished so they can really be in love with a lovely Muslim wife. Huh? What's my point, brothers and sisters? My point is that some nations are looked at. We have resources. Allah has blessed us with all the ingredients, but we're nobodies today. But yet some other nations are looked at for answers. What is it that makes the difference between that one people look to him, people want to follow him, people want to emulate him, and that one people just say, yeah, Muslims, yeah, Saudi, yeah, Egypt, big deal. What's the difference? The difference is what Brother Abdullah Vivash talked about. He talked about himself before Islam. He's still the same person. I wouldn't want to face him in the ring. Because he's still got, you know, he's still got those arms. Yeah? He's the same person. What changed him? What changed him and what changed many, many people like him who became Muslim? One day lived a certain lifestyle, the next day became imams, became dawah carriers, became scholars, became activists for this deen. What changed in them? It's one thing that changed, the aqidah. They embraced Islam in a particular way. Many of us, when we look at people who are converts and reverts, we're impressed. Because when they take on Islam, they take it on hard, they take it on full. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu adkhulu fi as-silmi kaffah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh you who believe, embrace this deen completely. He's talking to believers. We already believe. We're already Muslims. But Allah says, embrace this deen kaffah. Completely grab onto it. Follow it in every sense. That's the key. The key to changing an individual is that he embraces the aqidah and he looks at it. All my solutions, any problem I face, I'm going to take from the Quran and Sunnah. Any issue I face, I'm going to take from the Quran and Sunnah. When he has this attitude, it changes him. And so when you have a country that has a leader that draws up the constitution from the Quran and Sunnah, that sends the armies, not on parade to fly around, but to liberate Muslims, that land will be liberated because this is what the Quran and Sunnah says. A ruler that looks after the people and doesn't tax them heavily because the Quran and Sunnah says so. A ruler that cuts relations between us and those foreign powers who oppress in the Muslim land. A ruler that gives the women their real rights, as the Sharia said. A ruler that takes the resources and uses it to their job so there's a flourishing life. And the world can look to that society and say, you know what? Those people got answers to problems. And they will look at us better than the way they look at America, Britain and France today. The key is the aqidah. Is this aqidah still with us? Do we have the Quran? Do we have the books and the example of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Absolutely, like it was. So, number one, I started by saying our motivation for doing actions is wanting to be under Allah's shade and seeking Jannah. The youth have to have the motivation from Islam. We've got to focus our life. What do you want in this life? I want Allah's Jannah. Okay, I've got to aim for that, I've got to work for that. I've got to always remember that, remind myself of that. But number two, now you have this motivation, you've got to have a vision. You've got to have a vision. I want to be a practicing Muslim youth who is close to the Quran, who understands the life of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who practices and follows it, and I want to work for Islam. And what is this Islamic vision we should want to establish? To establish Islam as a superpower. The people rising up there, giving their lives, we want to be those people who work with them for this to reach its logical conclusion, which is to have the return of Islam, the Islamic Khilafah state. A real superpower in this world. My final point. Okay. You have the motivation from Islam, you have the vision. When I said what makes some nations great, some nations reference points, some nations to be looked at and others not, I gave part of an answer. When I said it is they having a strong belief, a strong aqidah, and we have an aqidah which makes sense, which answers all questions. If we embrace it and take all the answers from it, the state does that, the ummah does that, the individual does that, then we really will see the greatness. But it's not good enough just to have the correct aqidah, the correct idea, the correct belief. We have it. But still we don't have this greatness. The last ingredient is there need to be people. People, and mainly young people, because the youth have been blessed by Allah with what? Intellect. The youth can think. Yeah? They studied A-levels and university and this-ology and that-ology. So the youth have a mind, they can think. The youth have energy. As the brother said in his introduction, when you saw those images from Syria, from Egypt, from all these places, who started these uprisings? Who were the first people to go to Tahrir Square? Some of the older people, with all my respect to them, what did they say? They said, stay, you're going to get injured, you're going to get hurt. You know, what can we do? And we've been living like that for 30, 40 years under some dictatorship. And some young people came along with this energy and said, you know what, enough is enough. Come on, let's go and do it. You know, that's how the youth are, come on. And when that is channeled in the right way, this energy, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi hamd, it produces amazing results. Who is going to go to the Muslim Ummah here to explain to them that the push in the Muslim world, these uprisings, is not to go, we're on the fork in the road, is not to go where the West wants it to go. That there is some change and we end up with something like the West. Or that we have real change, which is the return of the Islamic Khilafah state. Who's going to go and explain that to Muslims? People have shown they are ready to die. In Egypt, in Cairo, all these places, go with their chairs, braver than me any day, and they are ready to take bullets and die to remove a ruler. And we want to say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We're halfway there. But we must not be cheated. And not to be cheated, the vision is to establish a superpower. To establish Islam in authority. Not just have some faces change. Who's going to explain what is Islam in authority? It is called the Khilafah. How do you work for it? What is it that we have a ruler who rules by the Sharia? Who's going to explain that to people so that they are ready to go out tomorrow to die for that particular thing? It's got to be somebody who understands it. It's got to be you, it's got to be you, it's got to be me. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we understand our role, that we answer the call of duty, the call to be practicing Muslims wherever we are, to hold on to our deen, its values, its akhlaq, its beautiful personality and character, that we be people who hold on to the Quran and seek to mold ourselves by the understanding of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the example of his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that we work for this deen. Not enough to be a lawyer, a doctor. These are good, don't get me wrong. But you're a lawyer, you're a doctor. So what? You want to be a Muslim lawyer who does something for Islam. A Muslim doctor who works for Islam. Now we're talking. And that is by having the motivation to seek Allah's pleasure. By having the vision. That the work for Islam is the work to bring it back. So it is an example to the world, a superpower that the world can see as an example, as a beacon of justice and a good life. And that that vision needs workers. And those workers need to be me and you to commit ourselves, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran Tafsir, and Sira are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.